1932.
Good day, weekend. Time is 7 after the hour. Now it's time for another thrilling and chilling hour for the man who drives a Lamborghini down the main streets in Santa Monica at 197 miles an hour. Clarked by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I only wish a Lamborghini.
You don't have to drive very much because your office is really near your home in Santa Monica and you have a home in New York, so you just drive. Why do you need to drive? You could probably get around in a go-kart.
Exactly. You know, I put about 2,000 miles on my car, and that's mostly just to go to supermarkets. That's it.
Because he is, ladies and gentlemen, the supermarket guru. For those of you who are new to our program this week, Phil Lempert is a very visible human being. You see him on the Today Show every week. He's on news broadcasts, various networks. People seek him out for his years and, matter of fact, decades of research and information, supermarketguru.com, supermarketnews.com. He is the host of a program that is actually one-third completed, the Phil's Food Sense show, Phil Lempert's Food Sense, airing on PBS stations around the country. See, I'd rather tell this than it doesn't sound like you're feathering your own
nest. It's embarrassing.
What, for me to tell people all these good things about you?
Yeah. Well, you should just say, this is the weird guy that comes up to you in the supermarket, taps you on the shoulder and say, why did you buy that?
How often do you get that on video? That actually be pretty good stuff. Where can we see that video?
Well, we don't video it.
Oh.
We just do
it. Research-wise.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of research that's being done. And because food is so important, all of our lives are spent revolved around food. Most of us love food. We love to eat. We love to know where we can get things that are good for us that don't cost a lot of money. Phil, in his office, is always a target of the people who are releasing new food, new items. Ask him to test it out. He does a lot of that every week. And so much of what we talk about here is a result of the research that he does, whether it's in the supermarket or in his office, getting these things, traveling around the country and around the world, trying to help people understand. A lot of it is marketing, much as anything else, isn't it? When you get right down to it, a lot of the things that people buy, they buy not because they know a lot about it, but because they think they know a lot about it based on how the product is marketed.
Yep. You're absolutely correct. And, in fact, you know, this past week, lots of people calling from the media to figure out what the marketing is going to be, not only for Black Friday, but for Thanksgiving, you know, because typically this time of year we start to see all the commercials about free turkeys or turkeys for 10 cents a pound. Mm-hmm. Not this year, even close. It's, you know, $5 for a turkey or just regular price for turkeys. And a lot of people are really trying to figure out, especially as we've seen the bad marketing of Senate Bill 510 over the past 2 days on C-SPAN, you know, just what's going to happen with food prices between now and the end of the year.
Well, Senate 510 is one of my hotspots, as you know, and because there aren't protections in it for the small farmer and because so many people now are focused on the local, I have not seen the coverage on CNN. Was it favorable toward the passage of the bill, or did it have the truth in there about how the local producers would be treated the same as the big producers and put most of them out of business if they're required to do what the FDA wants them to do?
Well, it's really on C-SPAN where it's actually these senators getting up and, for the most part,
I saw CNN. It was on C-SPAN.
About.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Yeah, they're talking what they're saying.
Yeah, what are they saying?
It's, you know, it's the same garbage.
We have to protect it.
This time, you know, came Thursday, I really thought it was going to pass either late Thursday or Friday. Yeah. Then Friday, when some of these senators are introducing new bills and so on, I knew this isn't going to happen. It's going to be past Thanksgiving, if at all.
Yeah. Well, it has too much pork attached to it. It has earmarks all over it. It has things that are inequitable. We all know that we have to protect the food supply better. The FDA has to do the job that it's now given charge to do. It doesn't. It wants, $1.6 billion more for more people. And the question has been, how are you going to pay for it? And they can't answer it. So that's one of the reasons the bill goes no place, is because they don't know how it's going to get paid for.
And that's, Doug, I think that's the problem. First of all, we have to recognize we have the cheapest food supply in the world. That's great. We have the safest food supply in the world. That's great. So every time that we have the Michael Pollans of the world or people like that insisting on something else, you've got to ask the question that you just asked. Who's going to pay for it?
Yeah.
And, you know, every time the price of cheese goes up 5 cents or the price of meat goes up 5 cents, everybody's up in arms. Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. You know, the world's coming to an end. But unless we put more money into this system, there's no way that we as consumers are going to get what we keep on insisting for.
Well, but the other side of it is the money, how it's used appropriately. The FDA had the authority to take care of the problems that have cropped up in various food supply chains over the last 6, 7, 8 months. They haven't done their job. They are continually being found wrong about stuff that they do. So they aren't the agency to protect the food supply.
No, absolutely not. We need a new agency. And you know, everybody agrees. You know,
yeah.
USDA takes care of some things.
Yeah,
FDA takes
yeah,
care
right,
of
exactly.
Things.
You go down to the supermarket. If you do, when you're doing your job, you, I think, were the one who pointed this out to me. You go down the supermarket aisle, you pick up a can of chicken broth, and it says under the authority of the FDA, and you go across the aisle, pick up a can of beef bouillon, and it says an inspection from the FDA. It's madness. And all this money,
it's the duplication,
the waste of your tax dollars, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And then to put
absolutely.
The farmers,
the system is broken.
The local farmer, which is the business that people in the country overwhelmingly say they want to support, the people mm-hmm. who produce and sell the food, would be completely devastated were this bill to be enacted the way that it was put forth. And you look at the senators who are pushing it and see who has contributed to their campaigns, and you get more outraged at this stuff. So and. As if that were not enough, there was a story this week about some imports, again, from some, I'm trying to remember where the country was. I should have taken this story and kept it for our discussion purposes. But I know, vaguely enough, maybe you can be more specific, there was some question about some serious amount of food coming into the country and tariffs that were put on it. And then, you know, we recognize the quality of it from one country was extraordinarily good, but we taxed it 26% or something, and then we have the same product coming in from another country that we want to do business with. The tax is only 6%, but the quality of the food is like not even, it's one third as good as what we were getting from the other country, but we're not taking the stuff in because the taxes are too high.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense to anybody at all?
Absolutely not. You know, it just what we need to do when it comes to our food supply is go back to the dirt.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it all starts.
Literally.
You know, support our farmers. Let's grow and raise as many things as possible here in the U.S. And, you know, and I'm not trying to sound like a fuddy-duddy or anything like that, but, you know, let's think back to our parents, our grandparents' day when, you know, an imported product was something that was special. Now we're importing just so many of our foods from China.
Yeah.
We have all these problems from a food safety standpoint, from a testing standpoint. Why can't we just grow it here? We've got some of the best soil, some of the best climate in the world. Why do we have to import things from China that we are eating?
We're trying to make them our trade partners and make money.
No, because cheap.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
We don't want to pay the fair price for food.
The one of our listeners in Eugene, Oregon, Dr. Gary Trunk, who's an MD, said he's following a blog that was focused this week on Senate Bill 510, the bill we're talking about, the so-called Food Safety Modernization Act. It was called by, he has a number of doctors who are blogging with him, and they say that it's called, I'm reading one of the blogs here, quote, the most dangerous bill in the history of food in the United States. It would outlaw gardening and your saving seeds. If you grow pumpkins, for example, in a little garden, and you want to save the seeds, show your children how it's grown, this bill would outlaw that. Can you imagine?
So the seed police.
Yeah. I mean, how crazy are we getting? Where does it stop? Has the brake been put on? One can only hope. Yeah, Phil, I always want to call him Dr. Phil. Phil Lemper.
No, I have hair. I have hair.
Yes, you do. And a nice, actually nice facial hair, too.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Phil, brought to you by the folks at the American Egg Board. And the American Egg Board is responsible for America's egg farmers doing the great job that they do with the incredible edible egg. Why do you have an egg every day? Why do you crave eggs, Phil?
Well, only because they're delicious. They're, talking about the price of food, they're only about 15 cents each. Mm-hmm. They're low in calories. They're delicious. You can do all kinds of things. In fact, an interview that I gave to Reuters this week about Thanksgiving, they said, what do you think is going to happen now that people are, worried about money for Thanksgiving? I said, have a couple dozen eggs in the refrigerator. And then when somebody, is complaining about food, make them an omelet. What could be better than that? And in fact, what's so interesting this past week, there's some new research that came out about dietary cholesterol. And, when you talk about eggs, what they're saying is, cholesterol and eggs, forget about that bunk that you heard a couple years ago. It's just not true.
It isn't.
It's not true. So start your day off with an egg. Eggs are a good source of all-natural, high-quality protein and provide a steady source of energy to help get you through your very, very busy day. Don't make it breakfast. Make it incredible. Go to IncredibleEgg.org, the home of the incredible edible egg.
We'll meet Molly O'Neill, who's the author of a recipe book, actually, some of the nation's best cooks. They are farmers. They are fishermen. They are chefs. This is a great book for this time of year, especially. Who doesn't like to cook, and who doesn't want to know how to do it the right way? Later in the program, we're going to find out about the proposed new salmon standards. As you know, there's lots of controversy in that. Salmon isn't just salmon, as many of you know. The Supermarket Guru here, available for your calls as well at 800-510-8255. We'll try to squeeze in a food quiz between now and the end of the hour as well.
Heart disease is the number one health threat to Americans, but too few of us understand how our everyday habits affect our heart health. As a professional athlete and dad who just turned 50, Cal Ripken Jr. understands the importance of heart health. That's why he's teamed up with Cheerios to help inspire people to take care of their hearts.
I've been fortunate to do what I love for my entire life, and I want to continue doing those things, which is why being heart healthy is so important to me. I've had cholesterol screenings come back a bit high, and now that I'm 50, I take care of myself more than ever. I've partnered with Cheerios because I want to help others keep health top of mind, too. As an incentive to stay healthy, we're offering Americans the chance to win experiences that help them live out their passions, from great sports and outdoor prizes to exciting travel and music prizes. Our goal is to encourage people to take care of themselves so they can continue doing what they love for many years to come.
To learn more about heart health and to enter the Do What You Love sweepstakes, check out specially marked Cheerios cereal boxes or visit Cheerios.com/love.
Did you know that over time, high cholesterol can contribute to plaque buildup in arteries? But when diet and exercise alone aren't enough, adding prescription Crestor rosuvastatin calcium helps manage cholesterol in adults. And Crestor is proven to slow plaque buildup in arteries as part of a treatment plan to lower cholesterol to goal.
And now there's another great reason to learn about Crestor. It has the lowest average monthly copay of any brand name statin on most insurance plans. Individual costs may vary. Crestor is not right for everyone, like people with liver disease or women who are nursing, pregnant, or may become pregnant. Simple blood tests will check for liver problems. Tell your doctor about other medicines you are taking, or if you have muscle pain or weakness. That could be a sign of serious side effects.
See our ad in Golf Magazine. Call 1-800-CRESTOR or visit Crestor.com, where you can also get a free trial offer. Then talk to your doctor about Crestor. If you can't afford your medication, AstraZeneca may be able to help.
888-800-510-8255. I was just telling Phil my experience going through the TSA checkpoint this week. We're going to talk Thanksgiving for much of our hour together today with Phil Lempert.
Yeah. You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCM specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory, no reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver, but don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
What are you cooking, and are you getting ready even this weekend for Thanksgiving? And are you able to beat the sticker shock that Phil was talking about for Thanksgiving meals? We'll talk about that as we go through our hour with some concrete suggestions. Phil Limpert is the supermarket guru. Joining us now is Molly O'Neill, who has written about various people. We don't consider farmers much to be cookers. I'm a farmer. Molly, welcome to the program. Book is called, by the way, One Big Table, and in it you have some recipes from some farmers. I'm a dairy farmer. In addition to being a broadcaster, I'm eager to know what sort of farmer input and recipes you have in this book.
Geez, this is a portrait of America, and farmers figure in it just as farmers figure in the picture of America. Mm-hmm. There are a few great cook and farmers. One of them, it's, you know, particularly germane to Thanksgiving, is Frank Reese, of course, out in Lindsberg, Kansas, who is saving heirloom birds, particularly turkeys. But now he's got, I think, six breeds of standard bred chicken ready for the market as well.
Really?
And Frank's a terrific cook. I mean, he draws on his grandmother and great-grandmother's recipes and recipes of friends, and he's one heck of a cook.
And Doug, I don't know if you know this, but the way Molly prepared for this book is she got into an Airstream. I guess, Molly, you left from New York and drove cross country and just stopped wherever you could to get some of these fabulous recipes and stories.
I did. I've been crisscrossing the country for about 10 years.
Wow.
Mostly driving. From time to time, I've flown. Like, I did not drive to Alaska. I want to be really clear about that.
That's a smart move.
So in terms of your driving around and getting a pulse, you really do. I don't want to make this about me, but I every year take a trip across country in both directions to visit radio stations that carry my various programs, and you learn so much. We are so distant. I have homes on both coasts. Phil does. And you lose the perspective of what's going on in the middle of the country, which is where much of what you have found in this book, One Big Table, comes from.
Well, that's true. I mean, what I really found is that the more remote geographically and culturally a place is, the better the food is. And because people in tiny little towns that are really kind of cut off by mountains or by a lot of back roads or water tend to cook for entertainment and tend to cook for their social lives as well as cooking for sustenance. So
and,
you get a lot
also,
of
Molly,
really.
And also, Molly, don't they have more time to take? I mean, one of the problems that I see with a lot of people who, quote-unquote, cook or a lot of the recipes that are out there, it's like, what can I make in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, if you know, if I've had the day off? And people just don't enjoy the food. They're not into it. They're just doing something to put food in their belly.
Well, I think there's a big difference between, you know, that kind of day-in and day-out cooking to get a meal on the table for a family. And that's changed in America. You know, we will use some pre-prepared stuff, maybe some fully cooked stuff, and add to it in our own kitchen. And then there are fast meals. I mean, basically what I found is that the really great cooks tend to cook a lot on their day off and then work from that food all week long. So maybe you make a great chicken soup, and one night you're having a stew, and another night you're having some dumplings, and another night you're taking the meat off the bird and doing a little bit of a stir fry. It works like that. People aren't scratch cooking, you know, after you get home from, you know, whether you're 12 hours a day in a radio studio or out with your cows. At the end of the day, you want to sit down and exhale. You don't want to roll up your sleeves and start another project.
You know, I was reading something in one of the farm trades this week on a trip that I took, and the family is a Kansas family, a dairy family. They have 300 or 400 cows that they milk, probably 1,000 altogether, and there are three. There's the father, the patriarch, his son, and their children. There are four families living in the same really large farmhouse. They eat all their meals together. Mostly
wow.
Breakfast and certainly dinner. They don't eat. They didn't much talk about their lunches, but they're prepared by a different person in the family each day. I thought it was pretty interesting how they give the responsibility, and they all grow most of the food and they can it and save it and stuff. But they each have a different day that they're responsible for, which I thought was pretty interesting.
That sort of sounds like when we lived with large extended families,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Right.
And then you could sort of parcel it out. Hey, where'd you find these people? Did you eat with them?
No, I didn't. I just was reading. I have a number of trades. This magazine was called Successful Farming.
Cool.
There's a story of the family. I think their name was Cole, and they were someplace in Kansas. That's what I remember. And the patriarch was 89 years old, and he and his wife are living. It was their home, and they've just kept.
Wow.
It's a great big farmhouse. And they have about 1,400 acres of land that they farm. And, you know, it's the scenario that you don't hear much about, but that's the part of the American farm, certainly in the Midwest. And you can imagine what wonderful food they grow and how wonderfully well they probably prepare it. And that's part of what you write about here. These people come up with all kinds of ideas. We'll try this and try that. It's not like it's a book, but your book is a book about the things that are tested and tried. Let's spend a few more minutes, Molly. Hold on, if you will, a second. Bill Limpert and Doug talking with Molly O'Neill, the author of One Big Table, a Portrait of American Cooking. Yummy. Maybe some good ideas in it. A book is out now for your Thanksgiving meal, half past the hour.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
If you're not satisfied with how your skin is aging and want a healthy, youthful glow with immediate results, get a facelift from the inside out with Vizuri. Like a mini facelift, only without needles or surgery, Vizuri is a revolutionary youth rejuvenation skincare system that's proven to work for your money back. Vizuri is all natural and chemical and preservative free. It helps reverse damage to complexions as a result of aging, stress, lifestyle, and pollution. Vizuri reduces skin pore size, firms, lifts, and tightens, leaving you with soft, silky, shiny skin and looking years younger. You may have seen Vizuri reviewed by CBS TV News. Now see how Vizuri is helping men and women get a fountain of youth facelift at avatarfacial.com and click on CBS TV News to see video of the amazing Vizuri skincare system. Call 888-203-5278. That's 888-203-5278 or go to avatarfacial.com, spelled avatarfacial.com, and click on CBS TV News. Vizuri, the fountain of youth facelift.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Welcome to the weekend.
33 after the hour now. You're listening to the Good Day Weekend program. Phil Lempert is here, the supermarket guru. A fellow who has all kinds of connections to pretty much everything food. We're having a conversation here with Molly O'Neill, who's written a book called One Big Table. And a little bit we're going to spread our wings, if you will, and talk about the new regulations for salmon. You have fishermen in this book, Molly, right, who have written some interesting recipes?
Yeah, a lot of fishermen, a lot of great cooking fishermen. I worked my way around the perimeter of the country from northern Maine all the way up to Alaska and, followed our fishing industry. As a young woman, I owned a fishing boat.
Did you?
Yeah, that worked out of Provincetown and fished Georgia's Bank.
Did you fish yourself? Were you on the boat? Did you run the boat?
No, I was on the boat, but I wasn't much of a fisherman. I was a cook.
Oh. Oh, okay.
So talking about the cooking, Molly, of all these recipes, 600 recipes in this fabulous book, I'm going to put you on the spot for a second. Share with us the best recipe and hopefully that best experience that you had, enjoying that food.
Oh, boy. That's like saying, who's your favorite kid?
I know, but I say it all the time to Doug. Who's your favorite kid? And he points to me.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, no, great! Great.
No, but there had to be one standout, and I know that you have 600 here. You probably had 3,000 that you brought down to 600, but there had to be one that when you took a bite, when you met the people, you went, "Wow! I wish could have done this."
Yeah, there's a wonderful Mexican fideo soup that is really, really fabulous. And it's from a street vendor in San Francisco who also has a teeny little private restaurant. And it's one of the best soups I've ever tasted. I love that soup. There's also a magnificent cookie from a woman named Holly Lane in Cincinnati, Ohio, that was an eye-opener. The cookie has everything in the world in it. It's got cornflakes, it's got oatmeal, it's got chocolate chips, it's got little crumbled Heath bars. I looked at it and thought, oh gosh, this is the kitchen sink. And then I tasted it and it revived my worldview on cookies. It's a real winner.
Yum, yum. I guess if I shared Doug's recipe for gluten-free cookies, it would not make your list.
There are two gluten-free cookies in this book. You know, you can dig right in there. There's a some sort of macaroni gluten-free cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a very nutty, a nutty, coconutty kind of no-bake cookie in there that's delicious.
Yum. We can smell it even after you've described it. Molly O'Neill, I was the food columnist for the New York Times, host of the PBS series Great Food. So you and Phil have something in common as you have hosted programs. Phil Embert's Food Sense on PBS Now. Great Food is what the book is all about. One big table. This has got to be a coffee table book with what I'm reading about the illustrations and all of the, I mean, have 600 recipes and illustrations. That's got to be a coffee table size book.
Well, I tell people it's a twofer. If you walk around the kitchen with it, you don't have to go to the gym.
Good for you. Well, this is a great entree and perhaps something that you can run out and get for Thanksgiving, get some good Thanksgiving ideas. I have a sense, and I think Phil does too, that Thanksgiving is different this year. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? What's happening in your home for Thanksgiving?
Well, I'm trying to decide that as we speak. I'm trying to decide whether to go see my family in Ohio or stay in upstate New York and deep fry a turkey. I'm really at sixes and sevens.
Okay.
Traveling has gotten to be a real challenge. You know?
I have never had a deep fried turkey, and I'm about 3 hours away from you. You want to invite me up? I have no Thanksgiving plans. I'd love to try a deep fried turkey. Phil, have you ever had a deep fried turkey?
Yes, I've had good ones and I've had bad ones. The good ones are fabulous. The bad ones are horrific.
Yeah. You don't. What I have heard is you don't try to deep fry a frozen turkey.
Oh no, not.
That would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Now, where are you? 3 hours away from me.
I'm in Framingham, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's so close by.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I go over. You know, you should go over to Northampton to the Hungry Ghost and get your bread there.
The Hungry Ghost.
Oh, right. Boy. Now, that has to be the best bread I've tasted in America.
I'm looking for a supplier of bread for my dairy store on my farm, so that sounds like a good place to go. The Hungry Ghost. Nice to talk with you, Molly. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all those good things. You'll probably have a great time because you're going to be cooking all this great stuff. I hope you're not eating it by yourself.
I don't think so.
All right. Good for you. All right. The book, again, is called One Big Table, A Portrait of American Cooking. 600 wonderful recipes, Phil, for any time of year. Let's spend a moment here talking about the Thanksgiving meal. I just made a sort of facetious remark about having a fried turkey. You cannot use a frozen turkey to fry the thing. But I'm looking at some of the I have in front of me a circular. You know, we all get those newspaper circulars, mm-hmm. and they come from the various stores. Around here, Stop and Shop is the big supermarket chain. There are others, but they're the biggest ones. And they have a frozen turkey at 99 cents a pound. A fresh one is $1.49 a pound. At Fresh Direct, which is another local kind of a smaller chain, $1.99 a pound for fresh. Frozen is $1.59, about 50 cents a pound between the small sort of local market and the big supermarket chain. And that's about the only bargain you're going to get, it would appear. And that's maybe they all have this caveat, while supplies last.
Well, that's a legal disclaimer. They're not trying to pull anything over you. You know, it's a legal disclaimer. You've got to put that in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, if you want to get a good price, you've got to shop
early.
Well,
it's like the airlines say you can fly coast to coast for $89, but they don't tell you there's only four seats in the plane. They'll sell you at that price.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, come on. But what do you think people need to be, as Molly just said, she's thinking about it. What do people really need to be thinking about? They haven't, and because money's tight, people have put off a lot of these purchases, and they may not be happy that they have, although, again, fresh is so much better than frozen. So that's where we'd push you probably, even if it's a little more expensive, right?
Yes. You know, fresh turkeys, world of difference than frozen turkeys. And also keep in mind, you know, to defrost a frozen turkey can take 2 days in the refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
and it takes up a lot of space. So That's number one. Number two, and, you know, Molly said it jokingly, if you would, but we just did a survey of our consumer panel, and, you know, 75%, three out of four people said they're going to make major changes for this Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. One of those changes, this is hysterical, they're actually going to serve less food to save money, and the second response is they're going to go to a friend. They're going to find somebody and, you know, say, oh, can I come to your house for Thanksgiving so that they don't have to deal with either the price or the cooking aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the, I think you said last week, was it about a third more this year on average?
Tom turkeys are 33% more expensive than they were a year ago. Mm-hmm. You know, canned pumpkin up 6%, pecans up 40%. The big buy this year, and I would suggest to a lot of our listeners to do this, is fruits and vegetables. So bottom line is, you know, serve a little bit of turkey and have 3, 4, 5 different vegetables. First of all, it's going to be healthier, number one. And, you know, you're not going to have that tryptophan kicking in so everybody wants to fall asleep. And also different suggestions. For example, I was talking to some reporter this week, and they said, well, what can we do for the kids? Because typically kids don't do it. I said, go to the frozen food case, get Banquet all-white meat chicken tenders, you know, because they love, you know, McDonald's McNugget, but this way you know what's in them, and it's all white meat. You can read the, you know, read the ingredients, and then dip them in like Hunt's crushed tomatoes or something, so they can have that to eat, and they're going to love it. They're going to be happier, and you're going to save a fortune.
There you go. The word from the wise. Phil Lempert is here. Good day. Weekend time is 18 before the hour. In a moment, we meet Jose Villalon, who has been working with the World Wildlife Fund to revise the salmon standards. We'll find out the story behind the story, because this, again, is another food that is extraordinarily important for health, and there are as many different kinds of salmon as there are popcorn around. You just may not know it. All salmons are not. Is that, this is like 1984 for salmon. Instead of all pigs are equal, all salmon is equal, but some salmon is more equal than others. And in this circumstance, such a difference in where it comes from. So you'll want to be listening to the advice from Jose and Phil in a moment here on Good Day Weekend.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRA since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
And now for the bonus round. If one is triangle and two is square, what is three?
I want to say deviled ham.
Correct. If beauty's in the eye of the beholder, where's brains?
On the phone with the plumber.
Correct. What does Netflix now deliver instantly through Wii?
Unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct. Wow. Netflix now delivers unlimited TV episodes and movies instantly to your TV through your Wii console. All for only $9 a month.
See terms of use.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Keep your data safe and easily accessible.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Backup Service is the only data storage solution that combines on-site hardware for rapid restores and cloud-based storage for disaster recovery. At just 50 cents per gigabyte per month and advanced deduplication technology to significantly reduce storage space requirements, the Barracuda Backup Service is the most affordable and efficient data storage solution for any size business. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
Now, 15 before the hour, 800-510-8255. Phil and I prepare to welcome Jose Villalon from the World Wildlife Fund. The question for Phil's gift pack, which come in very handy at Thanksgiving, lots of great food and things that will come in a Phil bag. We'll describe what it is that you're going to get.
A Phil bag?
A Phil bag. That's a good description. It's a bag that Phil has created.
No, I didn't create it.
Oh, you didn't? I thought you did. I thought you had some bags.
I don't know. Yeah, we have it. We have a supermarket guru, Your Path to Consumer Enlightenment, and I'm there, you know, dressed in a yogi type of outfit, meditating.
That's a fill bag. It's got fill on the bag. Fill. That's a fill bag. All right, so anyway, how many different types of wild salmon are there? 800-510-8255. The person closest with the correct answer, they're not going to give you any, we'll give you no suggestions.
No hints.
You come up with the right number. Closest to the right number gets the prize. 800-510-8255. How many different types of salmon, wild salmon, are there as opposed to salmon that's not wild? It's probably a bunch of different types of that as well, but because we're interested in wild, fresh salmon, not farm salmon, that's why we're asking the question. How many different types are there? The person with the closest guess or idea will win the prize when we get done having our conversation as we welcome Jose Villalon from the World Wildlife Fund, managing director of this, with the story behind the story of the revised salmon standards. Jose, welcome. Why is this necessary?
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for inviting me on the show this morning. You know, the World Wildlife Fund Living Planet Report stated recently that we're consuming now one and a third planet Earth. From a financial perspective, that's we're living off our capital. And the Food and Agriculture Organization stated that by 2050, the population is going to grow by another 50%. That's another 3 billion people on the planet in the next four decades. So farming salmon or farming seafood is going to be a way to learn. We need to learn to produce more with less. So that is probably where the seafood protein is going to come from in the future.
Wow.
And also, I mean, when not only salmon, but I am a big proponent of seafood in general. I think it's healthy. But I've got to tell you something, Jose. What really bugs me about especially salmon, where we have supermarket retailers who raise the price of salmon, put a sign on it that says organic wild salmon, and you go into these stores and it's like $25, $27 a pound, and there is no regulation for organic salmon. How do these people get away with stuff like this?
Yeah, well, that's the labeling and the eco labels and organic labels. That's a big competitive market. You know, aquaculture today is the fastest growing form of food production in the world. And as a matter of fact, almost half of all the seafood on the grocery store shelves today comes from a farm. And in salmon's case, it's over 60% of the shelf product is a farm. So it's amazing. The industry has grown at a strong, steady 8 to 10% annual rate sustained over the last 15 years. So this is much more than a trend. It's actually it's growing three times faster than any land-based agriculture. So,
but is it a good trend?
Well, if it's done responsibly, it is, and that is precisely why WWF is involved in this process. We need to ensure that we get it right because if the current consumption of seafood stays the same, in 30 or 40 more years, aquaculture is going to have to increase its production by 50%. And there's a lot of impacts with it. You know, some of the impacts associated with salmon farming are like the escapes from the cages and how it affects the genetic integrity of wild populations. There's also antibiotic and chemical use. The benthic biodiversity, what's going on under the cages with all the fecal, the waste, and the feed that's not consumed?
You saw the report this week on one of the news channels, something that actually, Phil, we talked about a couple of months ago, the video of the fish that's being grown in Vietnam. And, you know, there's no standard in America. You just bring in whatever you want and buy. You don't know unless you look at it carefully where it comes from. And that's one of the things that's important, too, isn't it, Jose? Knowing where this stuff is grown.
Yes, it is. And the traceability aspect component is critical for credible eco labels. You know, I mean, I mentioned some of the impacts associated with salmon farming, but it's not all negative. I mean, salmon farms have come a long way in the last decade.
All right, let's talk more about it in a moment. We'll pause here. Jose Villalon is here from the World Wildlife Fund talking about salmon standards with Phil Lembert, the supermarket guru, and Doug Steffen. The question is, how many are there? How many wild salmon types are there? Closest guess at 800-510-TALK gets the prize.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy, divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now, for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now, or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE, and cross food off your to-do list.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Chicken soup with rice. 800-510-8255. Your guest will get a Phil Limpert gift bag.
Oh, a Phil bag. A Phil bag.
A Phil
I
bag.
Like that.
Yeah, we like
a
that.
Now.
He likes that. Now that I've coined that, Phil bag. Filled with a lot of things that will be wonderful. You'll love them. We want to know to the closest number, and there's a little bit of disagreement about what the right number is, but not. You know, we'll get close enough to it. 800-510-8255. How many different kinds of wild salmon are produced? We're talking with Jose Villalon, who is the managing director of the World Wildlife Fund, about them working with whom, I guess, to draft these new salmon standards. With whom do you work?
Right. Good question, Phil. Well, WWF coordinates and facilitates what we collectively call the aquaculture dialogues. It's a series of eight independent roundtables that develop the voluntary standards that are going to actually measurably reduce the environmental and social impacts associated with salmon farming. So salmon is just one of the 12 species of seafoods that we're working with. And this is really a novel, incredible program because it's truly multi-stakeholder process. It's involved over 2,000 participants over the last 5 to 6 years. And those participants come from the producer sector, the farmers, retail buyers, the grocery store chains, environmental and social NGOs, and as well as academia.
And also, Doug, what you might not be aware of, besides just the salmon, everything else, World Wildlife does such a great job. In fact, I was just with Jason Clay, who's one of the VPs, I guess, over there, Jose. And, you know, we were talking to a whole bunch of farmers that are now in college about what's going on in the world. And Jason did a fabulous job of really outlining the dire straits that we're in unless we have a new generation of farmers and also, you know, the kind of standards that we're talking about here for salmon.
Yeah, and basically this program that I just described, the Aquaculture Dialogues, is Jason Clay's baby. He's the senior vice president at WWF for the Markets Transformation Program, which aquaculture fits under. And part of the process of developing these credible standards is once that we're finalized, we're going to hand it over to an independent aquaculture stewardship council. Those are ASC. Remember those letters, because it's going to be the entity that manages and certifies the farms around the world to be compliant, if found compliant with these standards that we're developing in such a credible way. It's going to be very similar to, maybe some of your listeners know of, the MSC Ecolabel, which is the global Ecolabel of choice equivalent for the wild fish.
Well, the kosher label, what is it, OU, that's recognized, that's a label that has credibility to it. So it's another one of those you just have to look for. You got to know. You have to educate yourself as to what's around, and then you know you're getting the best, or at least what you prefer. If you don't educate yourself, and then you get kind of what you deserve. I don't want to be too hard about it, but that's, if you don't look at the label, you're not conscious of what you buy, then you kind of get what you pay for.
You're absolutely right. And in farm seafood, it's a little bit even, it's very confusing because there are a lot of labels. So, yeah. And they aren't all credible. They all don't deal with the issues in a relevant way.
All right, so can we find more at worldwildlife.org?
You can, and go under Aquaculture Dialogues. You can also go to ASCworldwide.org to find out about the ASC program. Because, frankly, once these standards are concluded and the aquaculture dialogue, it's going to be the most rigorous and credible standards. And the ASC Ecolabel will allow your listeners to choose responsibly farmed seafood at the grocery store.
All right, we're going to let you be the judge. We'll go through these callers, and you tell us which one is closest to the right number. How many wild salmon types are there? Here's John in Fresno, California. What's your number, John?
15.
15. Too high or too low?
No, wait, no. Let everybody say theirs, and then Jose will say.
Oh, okay, all right.
Don't want to give any hints.
Hold on. Yeah. Don't go away, John. Hold on just a second.
Hold on.
All right. Dale, what do you say? What's the right number?
Was this worldwide?
Yes, worldwide wild salmon.
Worldwide.
Worldwide. I would probably go with 11.
Okay, hold on just a second. He says 11. Vicky in Kewaunee, Illinois, what do you say?
Four.
Okay, you got to turn your radio down, please, when you call. Tom's in Pasadena. What do you say, Tom?
I say six.
You say six, okay. Got to make this fast. We'll take one more person. Sandy, what do you say the number is?
Seven.
All right. Who's the winner, Jose?
Five. Atlantic, Coho, King, Chum, and Sockeye.
All right, so we got one person at seven. And let's see, the person at six.
At six.
The six, and there's one at four, so we get two prizes.